Okay, today's class will be given by His Grace Shivananda Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam and Ekadasi. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavas Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much.
Oh, glories. All right, so today...
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I'm so sorry. There are some new callers today, and also I just wanted to introduce the speaker. So His Grace Shivananda Prabhu is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He got initiated in 1967, around 67-68. And as Prabhuji explained to us in length last week, so he went to Europe to preach on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Just in a matter of months, he joined ISKCON, and he was alone in Hamburg, and he had started a small storefront, and people have been coming, and he has started the movement recently, I think 2 years before, when they celebrated the 50th anniversary of starting of preaching in Europe. Prabhuji and Mataji were invited, and they were facilitated. I would like to read a small paragraph that Srila Prabhupada mentions in Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. This is in the chapter, this is in volume 4, chapter about London, A Dream Fulfilled. A devotee could go many places and accomplish many things, Prabhupada said, but unless he was free of material motives, he would not be able to implant the seed of bhakti into the hearts of others. Prabhupada cited Shivananda, who had gone alone to Hamburg and tried his best with faith in a spiritual master. Now Krishna was blessing Shivananda with a little success as a storefront temple, newly recruited devotees, an interested professor, and other guests coming and chanting. Even one lone preacher could accomplish many things for Krishna, provided the preacher was free from sense gratification and the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So since then, Prabhuji and Mataji had been serving in ISKCON in many different capacities. So we are very, very fortunate. We cannot imagine how fortunate we are to have this opportunity to hear from you, Prabhuji. Please accept our humble obeisances.
Please accept my obeisances to all of you also. Today is Ekadasi, and so usually at the temple here where I am in Prabhupada Village, we read about the Ekadasi and think about it and appreciate from the Ekadasi book the power of Ekadasi and the blessings of Ekadasi. So I will read today from chapter 4 on Putrada Ekadasi. Yudhisthira Maharaj said, O Lord, and this is a conversation which is going on between Yudhisthira and Lord Krishna. And that happened 5,000 years ago, but the history of the Ekadasi goes back a long, long ways, as it is explained here in the verse. Yudhisthira Maharaj said, O Lord, you have so nicely explained the glories of the auspicious Sapala Ekadasi, which occurs during the dark fortnight of the month of Posha, December and January. Now please be merciful to me and explain the Ekadasi of the light fortnight of this month. What is its name, and what deity should be worshipped on that sacred day? O Purushottam, O Rishikesh, please also tell me how you can be pleased on this day. Lord Sri Krishna replied, O King, for the benefit of all humanity, I shall tell you how to observe fasting on Posha Shukla Ekadasi. As I previously explained, everyone should observe the rules and regulations of Ekadasi to the best of his ability. This injunction also applies to the Ekadasi named Putrada, which destroys all sins and elevates one to the spiritual abode. Sri Narayan, the Supreme Lord and the Original Personality, is the worshipable deity of this Ekadasi, and for his faithful devotee, he happily fulfills all desires and awards full perfection. Thus, among all the animate and inanimate beings in the three worlds, there is no better personality than Lord Narayan. Excuse me. O King, now I will narrate to you the history of Putrada Ekadasi, which removes all kinds of sins and makes one famous and learned. There was once a kingdom named Bhadravati, which was ruled by King Suketuman. His queen was the famous Saibya. Because he had no son, he spent a long time in anxiety, thinking, "If I have no son, who will carry on my dynasty?" In this way, the king meditated in a religious attitude for a long time, thinking, "Where should I go? What should I do? How can I get a son?" King Suketuman could find no happiness anywhere in his kingdom, even in his own palace. And soon he was spending more and more time inside his wife's palace, gloomily thinking only of how he could get a son. Thus, both King Suketuman and Queen Saibya were in great distress. Even when they offered tarpana, which is, and in parentheses here it says, oblations of water to their forefathers, their mutual misery made them think that it was as undrinkable as boiling water. They thought that they would have no descendants to offer tarpana to them when they died. The king and queen were especially upset to learn that their forefathers were worried that soon there would be no one to offer them tarpana. After learning of their forefathers' unhappiness, the king and queen became more and more miserable, and neither ministers, friends, nor even loved ones could cheer them up. To the king, his elephants and horses and infantry were no solace, and at last he became practically inert and helpless. The king thought, "It is said that without a son, marriage is wasted. Indeed, for a family man with no son, both his heart and his splendid house remain vacant and miserable. Bereft of a son, a man cannot liquidate the debt he owes his forefathers, the demigods, and other human beings. Therefore, every married man should endeavor to beget a son. Thus, he will become famous within this world and at last attain the auspicious celestial realms. A son is proof of the pious activities a man performed in his past 100 lifetimes. And such a person achieves a long duration of life in this world, along with good health and great wealth. Possessing sons and grandsons in this life proves that one has worshipped Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the past. The great blessings of sons, wealth, and sharp intelligence can be achieved only by worshipping the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That is my opinion." Thinking thus, the king had no peace. He remained in anxiety day and night, from morning to evening, and from the time he lay down to sleep at night until the sun rose in the morning. His dreams were equally full of great anxiety. Suffering such constant anxiety and apprehension, King Suketuman decided to end his misery by committing suicide. But he realized that suicide throws a person into hellish conditions of rebirth, and so he abandoned that idea. Seeing that he was gradually destroying himself by his all-consuming anxiety over the lack of a son, the king at last mounted his horse and left for the dense forest alone. No one, not even the priest and brahmanas of the palace, knew where he had gone. In that forest, which was filled with deer and birds and other animals, King Suketuman wandered aimlessly, noting all the different kinds of trees and shrubs. such as the fig, bael fruit, date, palm, jackfruit, bakula, saptaparna, tinduka, and tilak, as well as the sala, tala, tamala, sharala, hingota, arjuna, labhera, baheda, salaki, karonda, patala, kaira, shaka, and palasa trees. All were beautifully decorated with fruits and flowers. He saw deer, tigers, wild boar, lions, monkeys, snakes, huge bull elephants in rut, cow elephants with their calves, and four tusked elephants with their mates close by. There were cows, jackals, rabbits, leopards, and hippopotamuses. Beholding all these animals accompanied by their mates and offspring, the king remembered his own menagerie, especially his palace elephants, and became so sad that he absentmindedly wandered into their very midst. Suddenly, the king heard a jackal howl in the distance. Startled, he began wandering about, looking around in all directions. Soon it was midday, and the king started to tire. He was tormented by hunger and thirst. He thought, "What sinful deed could I possibly have done so that I am now forced to suffer like this, with my throat parched and burning? I have pleased the demigods with numerous fire sacrifices and abundant devotional worship. I have given many gifts and delicious sweets in charity to all the worthy brahmanas, and I have taken care of my subjects as though they were my very own children. Why am I suffering so? What unknown sins have come to torment me in this dreadful way?" Absorbed in these thoughts, King Suketuman struggled forward, and eventually, due to his pious credit, he came upon a beautiful pond that resembled the famous Lake Manasarovara. It was filled with aquatics, including crocodiles and many varieties of fish, and graced with lilies. Beautiful lotuses had opened to the sun, and swans, cranes, and ducks swam happily in its waters. Nearby were many attractive ashrams where there resided many saints and sages who could fulfill the desires of anyone. Indeed, they wished everyone well. When the king saw all this, his right arm and eye began to quiver, a sign that something auspicious was about to happen. As the king dismounted his horse and stood before the sages, who sat on the shore of the pond, he saw that they were chanting the holy names of God on japa beads. The king paid his obeisances and joining his palms, glorified them. He was overjoyed to be in their presence. Observing the respect the king offered them, the sages said, "We are very pleased with you, O king. Kindly tell us why you have come here. What is on your mind? Please tell us what you desire." The king replied, "O great sages, who are you? What are your names, O auspicious saints? Why have you come to this beautiful place? Please tell me everything." The sages replied, "O king, we are the Vishvadevas." And then there's a footnote here, footnote number one. So let me turn to that, and we'll hear about the Vishvadevas. It mentions here in footnote number one, the 10 Vishvadevas, the sons of Vishva, are Vasu, Satya, Kratu, Daksha, Kala, Kama, Driti, Pururava, Madrava, and Kuru. So I'll start the sentence over again. The sages replied, "O king, we are the Vishvadevas. We have come here to this lovely pond to bathe. The month of Magh will be here in 5 days, and today is the famous Putrada Ekadasi. One who desires a son should strictly observe this Ekadasi." And then there's a footnote number two. Footnote number two says, The Sanskrit word for sun is putra. Pu is the name of a particular hell, and tra means to deliver. Thus, the word putra means a person who delivers one from the hell named Pu. Therefore, every married man should produce at least one son and train him properly. Then the father will be delivered from a hellish condition of life. But this injunction does not apply to the serious devotees of the Lord Vishnu or Krishna, for the Lord becomes their son, father, and mother. Furthermore, Chandika Pandit states, Satyam mata pita jnanam, dharmo brata daya saka, shanti patni kshama putra, sadete mama vandava. The truth is my mother, knowledge is my father, my occupational duty is my brother, kindness is my friend, tranquility is my wife, and forgiveness is my son. These six are my family members. Among the 26 leading qualities of a devotee of the Lord, forgiveness is the topmost. Therefore, devotees should make an extra endeavor to develop this quality. Here, Chanika says, forgiveness is my son. Thus, a devotee of the Lord, even though he may be on the path of renunciation, may observe Putrada Ekadasi and pray to attain this kind of son. So this quality of forgiveness is very important, and I'll speak about that after we finish the story here. So the sages were telling him that this Ekadasi which they're performing is called Putrada Ekadasi. Then the king said, I have tried so hard to have a son. If you great sages are pleased with me, kindly grant me a good son. The very meaning of Putrada, the sages replied, is giver of a son. So please observe a complete fast on this Ekadasi day. If you do, then by our blessings and by the mercy of Lord Keshava, you will surely obtain a son. On the advice of the Vishwadevas, the king observed the auspicious fast day of Putrada Ekadasi according to all the established rules and regulations. And on Dwadasi, after breaking his fast, he paid his obeisances again and again to all of them. Soon after Suketuman returned to his palace, Queen Saibya became pregnant. And exactly as the Vishwadeva sages had predicted, a bright-faced, beautiful son was born to them. In due course, he became famous as a heroic prince, and the king gladly pleased his noble son by making him his successor. The son of Suketuman took care of his subjects very conscientiously, just as if they were his own children. In conclusion, O Yudhisthira, one who wishes to fulfill his desires should strictly observe Putrada Ekadasi. While on this planet, one who strictly observes this Ekadasi will surely obtain a son, and after death, he will achieve liberation. Anyone who even reads or hears the glories of Putrada Ekadasi obtains the merit earned by performing a horse sacrifice. It is to benefit all humanity that I have explained all this to you. Thus ends the narration of the glories of Pausha Shukla Ekadasi, or Putrada Ekadasi, from the Bhavishya Purana. So that's the end of the story. The idea is that the king, he was very upset and disturbed by not having a son. King, we see in the histories, in the itihasas and other places, that kings want to have a son to continue their line, and so he was disturbed in this way. So by Krishna's arrangement, he was able to associate with these great saintly persons called the Vishvadevas, and he learned about Putrada Ekadasi, and he observed it, and then he obtained the fulfillment of his wishes and desires. So the idea is that this is what had happened in the past, And the idea is that by performing Ekadashi, one can get great merit, and even that merit can sometimes be transferred from one person to another. We've read about this in other Ekadashis. So, of course, when we're following Ekadashi at the behest of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada knew that the normal restrictions that are there for performing Ekadashi in the past might not be so suitable for those of us in the West. So he made the arrangement that we observe not just one Ekadashi, as the king did here, but we observe every Ekadashi. So throughout the day of Ekadashi, we fast without eating grains, beans, and so many other things. And we increase our devotion. But in this particular Ekadashi, one can get a sun, which is called forgiveness. So forgiveness is a very good quality for us to have. And we should try and develop that quality in the process of our devotional service. And there are 26, it mentions here that among 26 leading qualities of a devotee, forgiveness is considered the topmost. So in our dealings with one another, sometimes there are slight offenses and sometimes improper behavior and so many different things. So for us to develop the quality of forgiveness is very important. We have so many dealings with, this is of course the Krishna conscious movement, is a very social movement. We have dealings with one another and so many different things. So sometimes there may be some slight offenses and some difficulties. So we as devotees should try and develop this quality of forgiveness. So someone may say something or do something, or there may be some problems. Of course, there's so many problems in living in the material world. So having the quality of forgiveness is very valuable. And it's very important for us because sometimes we might make offenses to others, and then we would hope to be forgiven by that person. So here in the verse where Chandrika Pandit was speaking, he was saying, forgiveness is my son. And then it mentions here in the footnote, and thus a devotee of the Lord, even though he may be on the path of renunciation, may observe Putrada Ekadashi and pray for the attainment of this kind of son. So the quality of forgiveness is very important, very good to have, and very good to practice. And so we should be very forgiving to others, and to everyone, not just the devotees who we deal with, but maybe even sometimes we're dealing with non-devotees, and they may be offensive. So we have to try and develop this quality of forgiveness. There are 26 qualities of the devotee, and forgiveness is one of them. So this is one type of sun which we can try and endeavor to have or get from performing this Ekadashi. But Srila Prabhupada in general has given us certain guidelines to observe when we perform Ekadashi. So the idea is also that the Ekadashi is the mother of devotion. So on Ekadashi day, we fast from certain things. And that may be a little bit inconvenient, but at least it reminds us of what our goal is, what we're trying to do. We're trying to develop the Ekadashi. Is considered to be an austerity. Austerity means activities that you can perform, which may be a little bit difficult for the body, but are very good for the consciousness, very good for the soul. So we have so many austerities we perform, or we engage in so many different activities that we may wish that we didn't have to do, but that are very good for us. So hearing the holy name, reading the scriptures, engaging in the process of devotional service, this is a kind of like a replacement for so many different things which we may have previously done in the material world and which we're now trying to amend, which we're now trying to change. So we may have had bad habits in the past, and so now we're trying to develop good habits. And there's always the... We also have very specific dietary rules and regulations that we follow, especially on Ekadasi, and not just on Ekadasi, but in general. And so this is considered to be an austerity also, in that we don't eat all kinds of things which we may have previously eaten. And so we're developing what's called a higher taste. We have a cookbook in the Krishna Consciousness Movement called The Higher Taste. So in the process of Krishna Consciousness, we're trying to develop a higher taste. We're trying to get a spiritual taste. We're trying to get a spiritual perspective on things. And so we can do this by observing Ekadasi, by observing the rules and regulations that we, as Vaishnavas, we usually follow. And so this is something which we can work on. We're developing. It's mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, which means developing a higher taste. So our whole process in Krishna consciousness is to develop this higher taste, develop this higher consciousness, develop this higher goals, and develop the higher desires. And so this is something that we're working on, and Ekadasi can be very helpful to us. Ekadasi can, by observing Ekadasi, we may not observe Ekadasi the way they've done in the past, completely fasting, even without water, and then staying up all night. But we observe, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned to us, but it mentions, as Krishna mentions here to Maharaj Yudhisthira, as I previously explained, everyone should observe the rules and regulations of Ekadasi to the best of his ability. So we do that, and some of us may be more austere than others, and so they may observe Ekadasi vows that are more strict than we do. But we should try and see, okay, let me observe Ekadasi, let me observe the vows of Krishna consciousness to the best of my ability. And Krishna, of course, will see that, and he'll be pleased by our endeavor. So in this way, we try, and we have instructions from Srila Prabhupada, and so we observe every Ekadasi in the year, and we hear about and learn about all these different Ekadasis and all the different things which are done in the past, and in this way, we get great benefit. We develop great merit. And it mentions here that by Lord Krishna, saying, anyone who even reads or hears the glories of Bhutrada Ekadasi obtains the merit earned by performing a horse sacrifice. It is to benefit all humanity that I have explained all this to you. So this is an ongoing conversation between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Lord Krishna, in which he's asking Lord Krishna, how do you do this? How do you do that? And so many in this way. So, and there's some Ekadasis that go back even further than that. The next one, Satila Ekadasi, that we'll be observing, goes back a long ways. But anyway, these are the histories. So we study the histories. It's mentioned that for Vaishnavas, the chronological order of things not very important, but the acts that are going on are very important. So we have so many histories, and the histories give us give us an idea of how to behave nicely. We see the devotees in the past, they've done this and this, and so what's happened in the past can also happen in present if we practice nicely. So we observe the Ekadasi vows to the best of our ability, and then we get great benefit from that. So, questions, comments, anything that anyone would like to say? We usually read about the Ekadasi on that day to inspire us. I read to the devotees what happened on the Ekadasi to inspire me and to inspire the devotees in their performance of Ekadasi and like that. So, anyone would like to say anything? I've spoken for some time, and now it's your turn.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for enlightening us on its glories. So Prabhuji, there is this thing about using sesame seeds on Ekadasi day. Some devotees recently I heard said that during Prabhupada's time he used sesame seeds, but I have not seen the ISKCON temples where I was associated with use sesame seed on Ekadasi day. Could you clarify on this, Prabhuji?
Well, there is also an Ekadasi which is coming up. It's actually the next Ekadasi, which is called Satila Ekadasi, and is recommended that you eat sesame seeds on that day and you give sesame seeds in charity. So I'm not familiar with the regulation on sesame seeds, but we do have an Ekadasi, in which is the next one coming up, about eating sesame seeds and giving sesame seeds in charity. It mentions in the next Ekadasi explanation, O exalted Dalbya Muni, black sesame seeds are especially suitable for formal worship and fire sacrifices, while white or brown sesame seeds are meant to be eaten by a qualified brahmana. One who can arrange to give both kinds of sesame seeds on this sacred Satila Ekadasi will be promoted to the heavenly planets for as many thousands of years as the number of seeds that would be produced if the seeds he donated were sown in the ground and grew into mature seed-bearing plants. So, and then it mentions a little bit further, on this Ekadasi, a faithful person should bathe in water mixed with sesame seeds, rub sesame seed paste on his body, offer sesame seeds in sacrifice, eat sesame seeds, give sesame seeds away in charity, and accept charitable gifts of sesame seeds. These are the six sat, which means sat ways of which sesame seeds, tila, are utilized for spiritual purification on this Ekadasi. Therefore, it is called Satila Ekadasi. So especially on that Ekadasi, you're supposed to eat sesame seeds. So, anyway, and as far as regularly sesame seeds, I'm not so, I haven't heard so many things. So I'm not really, I can't really completely answer your question.
Yes, Prabhuji. During sesame seeds, during Ekadasi, do you, in Prabhupada village temple, the normal Ekadasis, do you use sesame seeds?
Well, here in Prabhupada village, we don't use very many sesame seeds at all. I haven't seen very many things made with sesame seeds here in Prabhupada village. So it's not just a question of on Ekadasi, it's just we don't seem to use them very much at all. That's as far as I know.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Anything else anyone would like to ask? Or comment, not just asking questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Prabhu.
Prabhu, We also have a lot of discussion, and same thing is mentioned about the mustard seeds. There's a talk of chocolate and vanilla, and I don't know if there are any clear instructions from the Shastras, because those things were not, I think, used in the Vedic times, like the chocolate or vanilla. So I think more importantly, we should concentrate on observing the Ekadashi, doing some more extra things like reading Bhagavatam, yeah. Bhagavad Gita, and yeah. then
reading,
going to
and chanting,
these final discussions.
Yeah, that's an excellent thing to do on Ekadashi. Mustard seeds, I'm not sure about. I think
yeah, there's so many instructions. Eat this, don't eat this. The main instruction is to abstain from grains, you know.
Yeah,
like
grains
rice,
and beans,
baleine, yes.
peas, and things foods. Like that. Yeah, we don't, that's yeah. the main thing. Yes.
Prabhu, do you live in the same place like Madhua, Prabhu? Madhua? From Festival of India?
Madhua.
Madhua.
Yeah.
Madhua.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because he comes here for our Rath Yatra and the Sera.
Oh, yes.
Festivals. Yes. Okay. Prabhu, can you tell us a little bit more about the Prabhupada village? We just heard the name, but I know it's like
well,
a community
Prabhupada
of
village
devotees.
Was, yeah, Prabhupada village was started about 26, 27 years ago by Madhua Prabhu. He was living in Utah, and he decided that he didn't want his sons growing up in Utah, and so he put his property that he had in Utah on the market, and it sold very quickly. And then he looked around for some other property, and he found this place in North Carolina. And my wife had started a school in Utah with his sons, and he invited us to come here and to have, especially my wife, to open a school in Prabhupada Village. So we came across the country from Utah, and we came to Prabhupada Village. And there wasn't much to begin with. There was just a big white barn. And now it's more developed. We have roads, and we have houses, and we have temple. And just, you know, one little more than 1 year ago, Gaur Nitai were installed here in the temple. And the temple is very nicely arranged, and we're worshiping Gaur Nitai here, and these here are really beautiful. They're really nice, very handsome, very beautiful deities. And so worship of Gaur Nitai is going on here, and we're living in the country, and you know, a lot of devotees burning wood for heat, and we've just barely started a cow program. We have two little cows, Ganga and Jamuna, and I don't know. Well, the temple itself is an ISKCON entity, and the whole community is not necessarily ISKCON. There are other persons who are present here. But the temple is an ISKCON entity. And we're carrying on. We're, you know, carrying on with the programs that Srila Prabhupada wanted and doing. And we're working on that. And I don't know what else to say. We're in North Carolina. It's the middle of winter here, and it's quite cold, and we're using a lot of wood for heating, and we're trying to stay warm, and we have a big wood stove outside for the temple, and keeping the temple warm, and worship of Gaur Nitai is going on. And you're all very welcome to come visit us sometime. see Prabhupada Village and see Gaur Nithai. They're very beautiful. What shall I say? We're preaching.
That's good, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Yes. We'll definitely try to come there when we come for Sadhu Sangha to North Carolina.
Oh,
Madhuha
Sadhu
Prabhu
Sangha, yeah.
Comes. He comes and he does so many services. I did not know what all he has done. So he comes and makes a lot of things for our temple. He made the altar.
Uh-huh.
He made a covering over our stage. And now he's going to install our very heavy temple doors that we got from India. So we're waiting for him to come in summer to do that for us.
Where are you located?
It's in Bloomington, Illinois. It's a small
Bloomington,
place
Illinois.
In the middle of cornfields. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank you,
all glories to your services. Yeah, all glories to any of devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness and making Krishna consciousness available to local residents. Yeah, we need to carry on like that. Anything else anyone would like to say? So I wish you all a very happy Ekadasi. May you be able to perform everything nicely, and may you try and develop the quality of forgiveness. And carry on in devotional service.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Please accept
mine. According to, it looks like there is a name difference between the Hindu calendar, like, you know, they call it Vaikuntha Ekadashi, things like that. And there's a name difference in the egg.
There are different names, and they're mentioned at the beginning of the Ekadasi book, and there's a Vedic name, and there's a Vaishnav name, and there's a Vedic month and a Vaishnav month. So there are different names, yeah.
Okay. All are valid.
It mentions on this list that these names are taken from the 1986 Vaishnava calendar of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Thank you.
So this one is called also Pausha Shukla Ekadasi, and the month is Narayan. Anything else?
Okay, thank you. Nothing. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right, well, I wish you all who are listening a very blessed Ekadasi day. May you be blessed by performing your austerities and penances during Ekadasi. May you chant your rounds very nicely. May you read your books very nicely. And may you remember Krishna. And it's mentioned that to remember Krishna and to not forget Krishna is the sum and substance of all the regulative principles that we follow. So I'm hoping that you may all be blessed, and myself also be blessed, by remembering Krishna today. Okay? All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. And Panchakal Patrubhyascha Kripasindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, and we request your blessings to be successful in our endeavors to try to cultivate the quality of forgiveness. Recently, there was a devotee from Sandy Ridge who stayed in my house, and that Mataji was mentioning that if she could see one person going back to Godhead, that would be definitely Shivananda Prabhu, because he is blessed with so many qualities which you are amazed with. So this is a testimony from a devotee who has been in Prabhupada Village, and Shivananda Prabhu and Madan Mohan Mohini Mataji is the backbone of the temple and other services.
I'm not sure if I'm going back home, back to Godhead. I hope to. that would be very nice. I'm working on it. I'll be working on it for the rest of my life. And I hope all of you get blessed also. And Srimati Ekadasi is very kind, very merciful. So may she be merciful upon you also. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.